Acts chapter 3. We're beginning a new chapter of Acts this morning, and we are in a series on Acts Alive. On Acts Alive. How many of you have ever been in a tough situation? No, I mean, I'm talking about a tough situation. Yeah, in a boat, right? Yes. Down in California. Yeah. Ever been in a tough situation where you didn't know where God was? You ever been there? Sure. Last week. Where you didn't even know if God was or where God was or if God knew where you were. Isn't that what usually the question is? Certainly God still exists out there somewhere, but does he know where I am? The issue in life is even when it's dark and discouraging, Jesus is still there. He is still there. And at times like that, sometimes it boils down to simply understanding and remembering, who do I belong to? Who owns me? Who owns you this morning? God does. When you've given your life to Jesus, when you've surrendered your life to him, he owns you. Master, boss, father, creator. Consider Job and what Job went through and his difficulties. His wife wavered in her faith. Job never did. Remember, what did she say to him? Curse God and what? How'd you like to have that kind of encouragement in your tough times? I know I've gone bankrupt. The kids are all ill. My grandchild passed away. And then your wife looks at you and she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, thank you for the encouragement club. I will remember not to use your promise box in the mornings. Oh, okay. Nobody remembers what a promise box is. Remember promise boxes? You get them out, read the... Okay, all right. You read the promises of God? Well, let's take a look today. We're presented with a need. What do you do when you don't have the specific answer, or at least you think you don't, for the specific request? We're going to take a little deeper look this morning. Jesus has the perfect answer for every situation, for everyone. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And seeing who? Peter and John, about to go into the temple, he asked for what? He asked for money. He asked for alms. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, read the three words with me, please. Look at us. Look on us. Look at us. So this guy gave him his attention. You better believe it. The scripture says, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This morning's message is called, What I Have, I Give to You. What I have, I give to you. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood, walked, entered the temple with him, walking and leaping and doing what? Praising God, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now let's take these eight verses, let's just break them down a little bit and give you something to remember as we go into the week. Take a deeper look. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now the Jewish people observed three times specially every day for prayer. There was the morning prayer, which is about 9 a.m. There was the afternoon prayer around 3 o'clock, with the day beginning at 6. That's the ninth hour. The ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then there was the evening prayers at sunset. So most commentators and authorities on it agree that this was probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were gathering for their time of prayer. It was the time of meeting. It was time for them to go to church. They had a busy schedule. They had been busy fishermen. Now they were busy being apostles and disciples. They were busy teaching and training and raising up a new church for Jesus and reaching out to brand new people that knew nothing about the Lord and evangelizing and spreading the church. They were busy people. But what did they take time to do? They took time to go to church. Amen? They took time to go to church. I know some people in here today that have a busy schedule and are getting ready to do some traveling and getting ready to be on the road again. But they took time to what? Go to church. Now that sounds old-fashioned. You remember Billy Graham for years and years and years completing his crusades by saying, and go to church on Sunday. Remember that? You know why? Because there's something about going to church. There's something about helping each other, and there's something about strengthening each other. There's something about encouraging each other. There's something about seeing your smiling faces that encourages me. We get to build each other up in our most holy faith. Isn't that what the scripture says? These guys were just going to church. They were just doing what was natural. What comes natural as a Christian is getting together with other Christians. What comes natural as a Christian is praying and singing and worshiping, reading Bibles and doing things like that to find out about the Lord. Even if you're just brand new saved, all of a sudden you find out it's encouraging to go to church. Say amen or oh no. Now, no condemnation if you're on vacation. Look at me. You all think I'm going to tell you to go to church when you go out of town on vacation, aren't you? No, I'm not going to tell you that. No condemnation. Good for you. But the issue is, these guys were probably tired. They probably had lots to do. And we as saints get weary in well-doing. The Bible says, don't get weary in what? Well-doing. Going to church is something that sometimes can get a little wearisome. We have a miraculous opportunity, though, every time we meet, to meet with Jesus. Something miraculous can take place. I don't want to miss church. What's going to happen? No, sometimes I want to miss church. I'll be honest with you. Come on. Say amen or oh no. I mean, oh, come on. Sometimes I want to miss church, but I don't. Here I am. You know, because I just happen to be convinced that something supernatural is going to happen. God's going to do something. God's going to move, even if it's ministering through a song, or maybe there's one particular verse, or there's one little phrase that sticks out, or I get to meet somebody new, or there's something that's encouraging. I'm going to leave here today built up because I took a couple of hours to meet with you as we met with God together. That's what going to church is all about. A miraculous opportunity. What are we convinced of? We need to be convinced and understand that every time we gather, something supernatural takes place. Jesus said, when two or more are gathered in my name, there who? I. He is in our midst. Now, come on. Do you understand Jesus is in the room?
Amen.
Do, 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 do. No. You feel him? Well, maybe not. Do you understand that Jesus is in the room? Do you understand you all could leave the room except two of you? You understand he's there?
Yes.
Do you understand you all could leave the room except one of you? And that scripture says we're two or more. But do you understand when Jesus Christ lives inside your heart, when you walk in a room, Jesus just walked in the room?
That's right.
Do you understand that Jesus is here this morning to do something in, through, to, and for you? Do you go to church with that burning in your spirit? Hey, I can't wait to get to church this morning. I want to go. What's God doing? What's God going to do in my life today? What's God going to do in your life today? Maybe he's going to really do something supernatural. Maybe revival. Maybe next weekend they'll tear the walls out. Okay. All right, each time we meet, there's opportunity for the Spirit of God to do something. Look what God is doing. There's a song Scott Wesley Brown wrote. Look what God is doing all across the land. Something supernatural is going to take place. All right, what else was happening? There was a certain lame man who was there. This certain lame man had been there every single day. This single lame man had been there for nearly 40 years. Acts 4 verse 22 tells us this man's 40 years old. Now the life expectancy in that day, that was an old man. How many wish you were 40 again? But he'd been living this way for a long time. He'd been living this way for a long time. Never expecting anything different. Except his daily routine of getting placed in front of the temple. How many of you have been waiting a while? You don't have to answer me, but for some promises from God to be fulfilled. How many of you have had some things in your heart and in your spirit? And maybe after it goes long enough, you get a little discouraged and you think, it's just not going to happen. This man's 40 years old. He's a beggar. He's got a daily routine. And God is getting ready to move on his scene. But after a while, after 40 years, do you really expect it? Come on, be honest. You know, Abraham had to wait for a long time, didn't he? For what? For a son. God, are you just playing with me here? Are you just messing with my mind, giving me promises that you have no intention of fulfilling? Well, maybe I heard wrong. Or maybe it's just not time yet. But all of a sudden, this day, this man did his daily routine. And all of a sudden, two disciples on that day did their daily routine with an expectancy and a heart to see God move. But they simply did their daily routine. And God said, it's time to do a miracle. I just wouldn't have wanted to miss out on going to church that day, would you? If I was that man? That was his day for a miracle. Would you have all of a sudden said, I'm not going to the temple today. I don't feel good. I don't want to go to church. Look, God had something to do. And God's got a daily walk of faith for each of us to do. I don't know, and I can't tell you why God didn't heal this man from the womb. I don't know why God doesn't supernaturally heal everybody physically, tangibly in this life. I don't know why God sometimes chooses to heal in a different way for eternity. I just know God's still God, and he's still good, and he's still doing something. You know, begging in this time, this was a very acceptable behavior for those who were in this kind of a situation with birth defects that they could not get past. They had no employment, and this was a way in Israel that they could care for these kinds of people. They set them in front, this one in front of the beautiful gate. And that beautiful gate, historically, was probably a popular title for the Nicanor Gate, named for an Alexandrian donor in the temple. It was the main gate. It was the largest gate. It was made of the most expensive bronze. It was in the court of the women. It was facing the gate of the sanctuary and probably just gloriously shone in sunshine like today. Situated above 15 steps beyond which neither men or women rather or the maimed or the unclean could pass, it hosted beggars who were asking for alms from those who were going in to worship the Lord. Now, that was accepted in Israel, not in other countries. But in Israel, charity was a part of caring. As charity, mission, outreach, and caring for those who are needy. This church has helped to care in some measure, in a small way, but in a way we've all come together to help care for Bill and Jeannie and their children and grandchildren. That's biblically something we do. And that was caring from the heart of God. So begging was acceptable in this way. It was legal for him to be there. It was natural for him to be there. He'd been there for 40 years. Now, you got John and Peter going to church. You got a man sitting in front who's just doing what he's daily doing for years. And you especially have, number three, a Peter and John who were ready. They had been filled with the Spirit of God. They had seen Jesus ascend to the Father. They'd been baptized in the Spirit. They were ready. They were ready for God to speak to them. They didn't know, it doesn't tell us, that they had had God speak to them ahead of time. We don't see that God said, you're going to meet a man there who's going to need a supernatural touch. They were just walking with God. Were they anyone special? Peter and John? They had been fishermen, anointed now to lead the body of Christ. Anointed with the same Spirit of God that you are, that I am. Are they anyone special, or were they moved on by the grace of God? Did they get up that morning and fast for 14 hours before they went to the temple just so they could get ready to work up a miracle? They probably had breakfast like everybody else that morning. Fish and a bagel. They probably had their thing that they did, their little Hebrew cup of coffee. They probably got up and did their normal things like they did every other day, but they were anointed by the Spirit of God because something supernatural was going to come across their scene. Were they any more perfect, any better than any other saints? They were anointed by the Spirit of God just like you, just like me, when you've embraced Jesus as Lord and Savior, when you've accepted His moving of the Spirit in your life. They were lovers of God, and lovers of God listened to God. And in the moment, there came a need. Aren't you glad there came a need and they were ready to meet it? Now, you know what you don't see in this passage? You don't see them breaking out into a sweat when they're asked for alms. Can I have some alms? You don't see Peter and John looking inward with full introspection and shame and going, well, I'm not prayed up. I don't think I'm ready to be able to help you. You don't see them saying, I've got to go spend an hour with God and repent of every bad thing I ever did in my life before I can come back and help you. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying you're surrounded by people all day long, this is the bottom line, who have a need. And they're going to ask you for a need. And you won't always have time to go home and read 16 chapters of the Bible before you go minister to that need. Maybe you're going to have to minister right then. You don't see Peter and John breaking into a sweat. They don't look confused. They don't look shy. They are instead willing to help. What did they say? Transition time. You know, that's powerful. You know what they said? You know what the next phrase was out of their mouth after the request came? This is bold. Look on us. Don't be distracted. You might be hanging out a placard saying, alms for the needy. Come on, pour into my bag here. But they're saying, look on us. You know what that says to me? Confidence. They have something inside. And they know they've got someone to give. Now, do you have something to give? You're all quiet this morning, but do you have someone to give away? Who?
Jesus.
Good, thank you very much. Preach it, Bill. Say it again.
Jesus.
Amen. Say it Southern. Oh, you can't help but say it Southern. All right. So what do you have inside? What do you have inside to give away? Who do you have inside to give away? A simple request comes and they say with confidence, look on us. The Bible says Peter fastened his eyes on him. That literally means he gazed intently. He beheld this man with earnestness and steadfastness. He looked right in the eyes of this guy. He said, look on us. Get focused. It's time. Something's going to happen. You've been this way for 40 years, but God's got a rumbling going on in my spirit, and I just have to obey Him. You've asked me for something that I can't give you, but I've got something that I can. Look on us. Focus. It's time. Are you willing to help someone today? Is it time? Do you know you've got answers for people? Do you know you've got answers for people? Three of you know you have answers for people. Do you know you have answers for people?
Yes.
What's his name?
Jesus.
There's been a lot of teaching that we've done. Been a lot of time we've spent together, a lot of foundational things we've discussed, a lot of Bible perspective we've discussed. Give away what you've got. Give away. You want it to grow? Give it away. You want to grow as a church? Give away your life. Give Jesus away. The Greek word means this man started paying attention. He was expecting. He was expecting. So often we come to God with preconceived ideas about what he can do or what he should do. This man had an idea. I need money. That's what I want. I want money. So he comes and he asks for alms. And God's got a different idea about what he wants to give him. Now come on, can you be honest with me? Sometimes when we go to God, we have a preconceived idea about what we want and how we want God to give it. And God says, I know what you want, honey, but I've got what you need. And it might look a little different. Isn't it that way sometimes? Preconceived solutions usually mean that we have a demanding spirit before the Lord, when what He really wants is our surrender to His plan for our lives. God's got something bigger than mine than you do. This man had alms in mind. He expected. That Greek word for expected is prosdakaho. Prosdakaho. There, I got it out. Lake Tahoe. And it sounds like, and it looks like he was awaiting and he was in expectation. He tarried and waited for something. Now, next, you got Peter and John, number five. They got faith currency. They've got Jesus to give away. Acts 3:6, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. That's the King James. New King James, what I do have, I give you. The NIV, what I have, I give you. The New American Standard Bible, what I do have, I give to you. New Living Translation, I'll give you what I have. New American Bible, what I do have, I give you. And the God's Word Version, but I'll give you what I do have, sounds a lot alike. And then Message Translation says this. Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Isn't that exciting to you?
Yes.
I mean, doesn't that call for an amen or something? What I do have, I'll give to you. Rise up, walk.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Okay, it's late this morning. All right. I don't have the currency you want, but I do have the currency you need. I don't have the specific answer you've asked for, but I do have the specific answer you need. I don't have the specific things you requested, but I've got the deeper solution from God. I don't have what you asked me for right now, sir, but I've got the thing that's going to minister to your life deeper than you ever know. This is your day. You've been coming for 40 years, and now it's a divine intersection from God. Jesus has got a brand new life for you to live. Rise up, walk with the currency of Jesus Christ that I'm going to give you. It will change your life. You can beg for a specific amount, or you can get in touch with Jesus and change your life. Wow. How many want the deeper needs ministered to? In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Iergo, rise, waken up, rouse from sleep, from disease, from death. Get up from sitting down or lying down. Rise up, rouse yourself from your normal state. Stir up your most holy faith. Get your heart pumping again. This is going to change you. Are you ready? Rise up and walk. Peripateo, to tread all around, to leap, to run, to get up and walk. Peripateo, he's going to do something supernatural in you. Now next, we're going to see something interesting. They cooperate in the miracle. Simple couple finishing points. They cooperate in the miracle. As Christians, we don't just demand of people, give your life to Jesus now. Anybody remember an old name, Costa de Air? Costa de Air was Lebanese, I think he was, or something. Yeah, Lebanon. And he was an evangelist in the charismatic days and a Bible teacher. And he had been a boxer in the Middle East. And he was really anti-Christian, but he really made a surrender of his life to the Lord. And he was out, he was a tough-as-nails guy. And he'd lead people to Jesus. And he says, I only remember one time, though, when I forced somebody to come to Jesus. And he tells this humorous story about this guy, this huge, towering man, was just giving Costa de Air a terrible, terrible, terrible time and raking him over the coals. And Costa de Air was this wiry boxer who was known as a tough dude, you know. This guy was just riding him and riding him, riding him. And finally Costa de Air grabs him and says, get on your knees. Give your life to Jesus. And the guy goes, oh, okay, okay, I'll do it. And he led him to the Lord right then. And he says, now, I don't recommend that as the normal way. But you know, we don't just demand of people. It was interesting. If you take a look in this, he didn't just say, rise up and walk. They said that. But what did they do? Verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The word took is piazzo, and again it means apprehend, catch, lay hand on. You know what we're really saying? If you're in your need, I'm not just going to point you to Jesus. I'm going to take you by the hand and help you stand up again in your life. That's what we do to help people with their miracle. We help distribute it by taking them by the hand and lifting them, arousing them from their sleep as they respond to the Spirit of God. God's ways are bigger than yours, finally. The man had been asking for alms for 40 years, but today was a day that God wanted to meet him. Verse 8, so he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. He was thrilled. He was delighted. The word leaping means he literally sprang forth. He stood. He walked. He treaded all around. He walked at large. This man, can you imagine 40 years being bound, and all of a sudden he's walking all around, and he's leaping and around, and he's running back and forth. He goes, oh my gosh, look at what God's just done for me. Can you believe this? Look, I'll praise God, man. I'm no longer bound. Can you think he was just shy and quiet? Am I being a little too demonstrative for you? I probably am not enough. You know, we're talking about the Jewish culture here. We got loud people. I feel right at home. But you probably have, you know, this guy had been bound up all his life. Can you imagine? Yeah, I just think these things come alive, and I think of the crackling and the snapping of ligaments and bones as they come together. Maybe it didn't happen that way at all, but all of a sudden, he's leaping around. He's running around, and these people that have known him for 40 years are watching this guy get up off the ground and run around. No wonder he then did what he had probably wanted to do for 40 years. He finally, now, could go into the temple of God. Wow. Jesus changed his life. And he was praising God. Next week, we'll see how the result of this changes other lives, because God doesn't do anything in secret. But God does miracles in daily lives that are different than we expect. And he does miracles in lives for people who need him, who are willing to have him do something different than what they expect. But they just went to church. They just prayed. They just spoke in faith. And God did it. Do you think you can change somebody today just by living your life daily? It's kind of the bottom line, isn't it? You just live your daily life and God changes lives through you. I was given a story that I think is a perfect way to conclude this message just before the message started, or before the morning service started. Several years ago, a preacher moved to Houston, Texas, and some weeks after he had arrived, he had an occasion to ride the bus from his home to the downtown area. When he sat down, he discovered that the driver had accidentally given him a quarter too much change. After he considered what to do, he thought to himself, I better give the quarter back. Be wrong to keep it. Then he thought, oh, forget it, it's only a quarter. Who would worry about this little amount? Anyway, the bus company already gets too much. They'll never miss it, accept it from a gift from God, and keep it quiet. When his stop came, he paused momentarily at the door. Then he handed the quarter to the driver and said, here, you gave me too much change. The driver, with a smile, responded, aren't you the new preacher in town? I've been thinking lately about going to worship somewhere, and I just wanted to see what you'd do if I gave you too much change. When the preacher stepped off the bus, he literally grabbed the nearest light pole and held on, and he said, oh God, I almost sold your son for a quarter. Our lives may be the only Bible some people will ever read. Peter and John just went to church. They just went to pray. This man just sat doing his daily thing, asking for alms. And God did something a whole lot bigger because somebody was willing to obey him. Can you obey him today? Can you obey him this week? What I have, I give away to you. Let's stand. Father, we thank you that you are great and you are God, and 8 little verses from chapter 3 of Acts can come alive for us today. Lord, no condemnation, but life for us to receive. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to you, to give you away to everyone today. I believe that this week you're going to give us a divine intersection where we'll come across someone's path who needs you. Help us be sensitive to give them the answer, maybe that they don't ask for, but that they need, as you direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.